Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison, on Island Radio, KISL Avalon at 88.7 on your FM dial and anywhere on the planet at KISLAvalon.com on your internet dial. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this week's show, we'll do some burgling, do some toddling, fulfill a request, get burned, and introduce a new feature to the show. Raymond Hitchcock was born this very day, October 22nd, in 1865. He was a popular vaudeville and musical comedy star with a droll sense of humor, and whose singing was done for comic effect, but he also performed dramatic roles on stage. He died November 24th, 1929. Just last month, I played the last third or so of Hitchcock's recording of The Burglar Story and The High Cost of Living, because I ran out of time to play the whole record. I thought about playing just the first part of the record here, but for those like me with OCD, here's the record in its entirety.
Oh, I'm frightfully upset. A terrible thing happened. In the middle of the night, my wife awakened me and said, "Get up, there's a burglar in the house." Anything I hate in this world is to have my wife awaken me in the middle of the night and tell me to get up and meet a burglar. I'll meet landlords and janitors, but one must draw the line someplace. So I said to my wife, "No, you get up." She says, "No, you get up." I said, "I got up to meet the last burglar. You get up and meet this one." She said, "You get right up and see what that man's doing." So I got up and I said, "Here, Mr. Burglar, what do you mean burgling in my house?" He said, "I have a perfect right to burgle in your house, sir, and I'm going to burgle." I said, "I'll see whether you're going to burgle or not. I'll go right out and get a policeman and have you arrested." He said, "Go on out and get your darned old policeman, see whether you can have me arrested or not." Oh, I hate to be taunted by a burglar, so I went right out to the grocery store and I found two policemen. I said, "Officers, come right outside with me. I've got something I want to say to you." When they got outside, I said, "There's a burglar down into my house, burgling, and I want you to come with me and arrest him." So they came along, and when we got halfway home, they stopped. I said, "What's the matter now?" They said, "What kind of a looking burglar is this burgling in your house?" I said, "He has a dark mustache." They said, "Has he a scar over his right eye?" I said, "Yes, he has. I noticed that scar particularly." They said, "We can't arrest him." I said, "What do you mean you can't arrest him? Here you are, a policeman on this force, and you can't arrest a burglar? What do you mean?" He said, "He has purchased the burgling privilege on this block, and we can't touch him." I said, "Well, how in the world am I going to be protected?" He said, "Well, you'll have to move into a block where they haven't sold the burglar privilege." So I went home, and there the burglar sat. I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I can't have you arrested. Seems you have a right to burgle here." And he laughed at me. Oh, how I hate to have a burglar laugh at me. He said, "Come on now, I've wasted enough time with you. Fork out your watch and your money and your jewels and your wife's jewelry." And he took our solid silverware and all our jewels and tied it in one great big bundle and threw it over his shoulder. Just as he was about to leave, a man with a mask on stepped into the window and blew a whistle. The burglar dropped the bag and turned to me and said, "You're a lucky guy." I said, "What do you mean I'm a lucky guy? Here you are taking everything I possess in the world, and you say I'm a lucky guy." He said, "I can't take it." I said, "You can't take it?" He said, "No. I belong to the Burglars Union, number 44. And that was the president of our union, and he just called a strike. And when I told the boys how I had frightened the burglars out of town, they intend making me mayor of this city. And when I am, I want you to know that I will make just as good an official as anyone in the world. Now, there's President Wilson. He said, 'Make me president of the United States and I'll reduce the high cost of living, the cost of eggs, of butter, the cost of eggs, eggs.' Why, gosh darn it, he hasn't got any more influence with a hen than I have. He can pass all the laws Congress will let him pass, and that hen won't pay any attention to it. I know, for I have the best set of rules and regulations for hens to go by, nailed in my hen house, and not a gosh darn hen will look at it. I have even called hens aside and spoken to them privately, so as not to embarrass them in front of the other hens, and tried to point out their duty as an egg-laying proposition, and all I got was cluck, cluck. And when that hen is laying but one egg a month, the price of eggs are going up. I don't care what anyone says. The price of eggs are going up. And when that hen is laying a dozen eggs a day, which is going some for any pullet, the price of eggs are going down. And you ask me why. You ask me why. Well, I'll tell you why. Because eggs become unfriendly after a while. And there is nothing so disturbing to the family circle as a suspected egg. Do not be deceived by these promise-all politicians. Vote often and early for me.
Oh! father just to see me home. Never again my liberty, that company I shall shun. One December morning, the wind was blowing east, and every town that I rode through, I heard the people say, there goes Boston Burglar, with chains he will be bound. For some great crime that he has done, he sent us to Charlestown. See my aged old father standing over there. See my aged old mother tearing down her hair. See my aged old father who just to see me home. Never again my liberty, bad company I shall shun.
There were several versions of the Boston Burglar made in the mid-1920s by Vernon Dalhart, Carl T. Sprague, and Fiddlin' John Carson, but there you have Frank Hutchison accompanying himself on his July 9, 1929 recording on OK45425. The Boston Burglar is an Americanized version of the British song Botany Bay, a transportation ballad from the late 18th or early 19th century, when British convicts were being shipped to penal colonies in Australia, the two most famous of which were Botany Bay and Van Diemen's Land. A version of the Boston Burglar by singer Dan McCarthy was copyrighted in 1881 by New York music publisher J.H. Wayman, but the song is now credited to Michael J. Fitzgerald. Before that, Fred Van Epps on banjo, accompanied on the piano by somebody, with Stephen O. Jones's composition, The Burglar Buck. That's from Victor 18692, recorded the last day of January 1911. Stephen O. Jones was primarily an arranger, but has a few tunes to his credit, so I'll see if I can't put together a segment for him. As an arranger working for music publisher Joseph Stern, it was Jones who wrote simplified arrangements of U.B. Blake's compositions so that mere mortals could play them, which more than annoyed Blake. We started the set with Raymond Hitchcock telling the burglar story and the high cost of living. That's from 12-inch Victor 55046-B. Hitchcock made two attempts on July 21, 1914, but both were rejected, so he took a break and came back on July 30th and got it right on take four. I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. You're familiar with that feature of the program we call One Thing in Common, where we play a set of records which seemingly have nothing whatsoever to do with each other, yet have one thing in common. Well, we're calling this segment Nothing in Common. Because the following three rapidly rotating records actually have nothing in common. Here to start off the set is Don Roberts.
On a gypsy trail in Romani, I met you, my gypsy rose. Fire in your eyes are beaming like campfires gleaming. How I wanted you in Romani, how I loved you no one knows. All my pleadings were in vain. Still I'll try and try again. My heart is crying, revenge. Love, you're defying revenge. Gypsy life will soon command you to love and to yearn. My revenge will be to brand you with kisses that burn. I'll only live for revenge. My life I'll give for revenge. When you kiss me and whisper, I love you, sweetheart. How sweet will be my I'll give for revenge. When you kiss me and whisper, I love you, sweetheart. How sweet will be my
Back in 2020, in Al Frisk's birthday segment, I played his tune, Pirouette, performed by McKee's Orchestra in 1917. You just heard that tune again, this time in a much peppier arrangement by Jack Payne and his orchestra, on February 8, 1931. But the label of Columbia CB-18 shows the title as Crazy Pirouette. Robert Kidd and his brother David Kidd performed together as teenagers in the 1930s, singing with Jack Hilton, Flanagan and Allen, and others. They also appeared in at least two musical films, Happy Days and Saturday Night Review. Later in the 30s, they had a double act as Bert and David Kidd before going on to have separate careers. Before Crazy Pirouette, we heard Master David Kidd with Jack Hilton and his orchestra and Standing on the Corner from Decca F-3409, recorded January 5, 1933. This Standing on the Corner was written by Eddie Pola and Fritz Steininger, and is not to be confused with the Standing on the Corner written by Frank Lesser, recorded by the Four Lads in 1956. David went on to perform as a freelance vocalist with numerous dance bands in clubs all over the country, among them the Carl Barreto Orchestra. We started that Nothing in Common segment with Don Roberts and Revenge from the 1928 Dolores del Rio picture of the same name. Joe Young and Sam M. Lewis wrote the words and Harry Axe the music. Columbia 1535-D was recorded August 24, 1928. My friend, fellow vintage music collector, fellow fan of theater organ music, film critic and listener, Matthias Bombal, recently suffered some severe pain when he fell into his gas barbecue grill, burning his right hand and forearm. Fortunately, there was no permanent damage to him or the grill, although that evening's entree wound up on the patio. Matthias has two profiles on Facebook, his personal page, Matthias Antonio Bombal, and Matthias Bombal's Hollywood, where he presents reviews of new films currently playing or coming soon. So, with best wishes to Matthias for a complete recovery and thanks for the inspiration for this segment, here are some rapidly rotating records about burning. Thank you. Prince's Band with Blaze Away, written by Abe Holtzman. That September 16, 1916 recording was issued on Columbia 12-inch 78 A5884, which accounts for the nearly 4 minutes of playing time. I don't usually mention the recording session supervisors, but on most of the hundreds of recordings by Prince's Band, the session supervisor is a guy with a great name, G. Hepburn Wilson. George Hepburn Wilson was born in 1875 and was primarily a dance instructor and writer and editor of Modern Dance magazine. He eschewed the foxtrot and one-step, advocating for jazz dancing, the ramble, and the toddle. But more about that next segment. Before Blaze Away, Earl Fuller's Celebrated Society Orchestra with Walter Smith's composition, While the Incense is Burning. Victor 18450 was recorded November 19, 1917. And we started the set with the Wolverines and You're Burning Me Up, Turning Me Down. This Wolverines group, led by Louis Katzman, is an alias for the Tennessee Tudors, featuring Red Nichols and Miff Mole, and is unrelated to the Wolverines featuring Bix Beiderbecke. You're Burning Me Up was written by Ross Gorman, Billy Frisch, and Roy Berger. Brunswick 3332 was recorded September 20th, 1926. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. You've no doubt heard Chicago referred to as that toddlin' town. That phrase derives from a dance which originated around 1920 called the toddle. In an illustrated article in the July 31, 1921 edition of the South Bend News-Times, Arthur Murray describes how to dance the toddle. While Mr. Murray admits that the name toddle is ridiculous, he says to dance the toddle is lots of fun, recalling the shimmy, minus the violent shaking of the shoulders. The toddle has a characteristic bouncing step where you take a regular foxtrot step, then rise up and come down at the finish of each step, with the bouncing movement coming after the step is taken. In a break from tradition, the old rule of keep your feet on the floor is out the window, and the lady is encouraged to lift her feet from the ground and raise her foot high off the floor if she can do so gracefully. The article goes on to describe a number of variations, including the rocking step, the backward shuffle, and the toddle pivot. Fun fact, my wife once worked for Arthur Murray. Well, not directly for the man, but she was a dance instructor in one of his studios. So, what do you say we do some toddling? Thank you.
was inviting. Froggy Bottom was exciting, but we now have something that is ultra new. It is called the Toady Toddle. All you have to do is waddle, and I'm sure that it will make a hit with you. It will chase away your troubles and will make your heart beat double. All you do, the Toady Toddle, all night through.
I apologize if I'm guilty of stuck song syndrome, or if I've planted an earworm with that one. That's the Nations Brothers with their composition, Sales Tax Toddle, from Vocalion 03184. A field recording unit captured that in Jackson, Mississippi on October 13, 1935. The Nations Brothers were Sheldon, who played fiddle, and Marshall on guitar. They worked on the family farm and had no formal musical training, but played Friday and Saturday nights at school gatherings, picnics, fiddlers' conventions, community fairs, and on local radio stations, where they caught the attention of Brunswick and were invited to Jackson for an audition. After marrying, they gradually quit playing, and after service overseas in World War II, Sheldon became a tax assessor and Marshall a policeman. Before the Nation's Brothers was Andy Kirk and his Clouds of Joy with Toady Toddle, written by Mary Lou Williams and Sharon Pease, sung by Ben Thigpen. Decca 2127 was made September 12, 1938. We started with Rudy Weedoff's Californians and Toddle, written by Paul Bees, Frank Westfall, and Jimmy Steiger. Vocalion B14193 was made in April of 1921. For this final segment, I'm going to play three records from 1943 by Jimmy Dorsey. Yes, 1943 is a bit past our admittedly flexible 20s and 30s boundary, and no, it's not Jimmy's birthday. So, what's the deal? Well, it's to fulfill a request from a former colleague, Paul, who was an instructor at Astor Camp some years ago. Paul sent an email to say his grandparents were married in October of 1943 and were fans of big band music. He remembers them telling him specifically that on their first date, they went to a Jimmy Dorsey concert. So he asked if I would play something by Jimmy Dorsey in honor of what would be their 80th anniversary this week. I don't know if Jimmy played any of these songs at the concert they attended. He very well might have. But regardless, I think they're certainly appropriate. So here for Leila and Sam Brogman are three from Jimmy Dorsey with vocalist Bob Eberle.
Where there is sunshine forever, I'll find you. Where there's no sorrow, no never, I'll find you. Where the moon sprinkles her beams into a blanket of dreams. Where there is nothing but heaven, it seems. Where there's a scent of sweet flowers, I'll find you. Where we can dream by the hours, just we two. Where there is hope, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is life. A life so faithful and true. Where they find all of these, I'll find. Where there is hope, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is light. A light so faithful and true. Where they find all of these, I'll find you.
Where My first and last love will be you. My heart once told me arms like yours would hold me. Seems I always knew someday I'd meet someone like you. And here you are so close to me, just as I always hoped you'd be. You are my first love, and you'll be my last love all my whole life. I'll go on living, loving you. Around the corner waiting for me. Will I recognize a light in her eyes that no other eyes reveal? Or will I pass her by and never even know that she is mine? Ideal. recognize a light in her eyes that no other eyes reveal. Or will I pass her by and never even know that she is my ID?
There you have a mini concert by Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra with vocalist Bob Eberle. We started with I'll Find You, written by Kay and Sue Werner. That's from Decca 18545, July 14th, 1942. I don't know if Sam and Leila were each other's first loves or not, but for purposes of this segment they were. So I'll Find You was followed by My First Love, written by Ruth Lowe and Mac David. Decca 18582 was recorded October 7th, 1943. We finished up with My Ideal, written by Leo Robbins, Richard Whiting, and Newell Chase. And Sam and Leila were certainly each other's ideal, together for life. Decca 18574 was recorded October 27th, 1943. Happy anniversary, Leila and Sam. I hope you enjoyed those selections. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.